is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, my friends, welcome to it. It is Free for All Friday. And both of my parents, my father went to Hillsdale College for a period of time before transferring to Michigan State University. My mother went to Michigan State, where she graduated with both a bachelor's and a master's degree. My father got his degree from MSU as well. My brother went off to the University of Michigan. I ran away from home, went to Montana State. My other brother went to some private colleges outside of Chicago, Wheaton being the most notable. The point being is that I have a... a split household, I guess, which I think a lot of people do. So when it comes time for the game in Michigan, you know, people pick sides. That's all. And much to my mother's confusion, and even after I heard Levi Jackson run wild in 1973 on the radio, this radio station, by the way, and my mother go bananas, and I was about, I was a kid, I'm 7, 8 years old, my mother's going bananas. When Michigan State beat Ohio State, the Ohio State, and Woody Hayes, my mother's going, I'm like, what is all the excitement about? But man, is it cool, because look at how fired up she is. And I'm just like, wow, Mom, are you all right? Whatever you're having, I have some of that. Anyhow, so tomorrow's a big game, of course. Jim Harbaugh will be coming into Spartan Stadium as a coach for the first time. Coach D trying to heal a hurting Spartan program. And I'm going to go there myself and see what happens and take my daughter along for her first big Michigan State game. Hopefully the weather doesn't look too bad. Looks like we'll be all right. All right, Impala, it's Free for All Friday, by the way. If you want to call, give me any game predictions, that's fine. You can't talk politics all the time. Sometimes you have to talk football, and sometimes you have to go fish. That's the way the world is. Whatever your diversion, sometimes you have to unplug and recharge. Your mind, that is, and your soul. You can't, when you talk about draining the swamp, like Donald Trump does, you also have to kind of step away from that, because if you're around the swamp too much, at some point you start to smell like it. So you do need to step away from time to time, do something healthy, go for a bike ride, go see a movie, date night, whatever it may be to help you along, but do those things so you don't get totally, my God, you'll get depressed if this is all you look at all the time. Trust me, I'll tell you, I've been a bit agitated lately. I get wound up over this stuff. I take this stuff very seriously. And you should. It's your country. It's your future. It's your kids. It's your grandkids. You should take these things seriously, but you should also take a breath once in a while. I was able to do that yesterday a little bit as we celebrated Teddy Roosevelt's birthday, the 27th of October. Let's see here. I think I'm going to start with this one. This hour, Erica Garner, the daughter of Eric Garner, who died in police custody, ripped the Hillary Clinton campaign in a series of tweets yesterday after new campaign emails released by WikiLeaks showed how Hillary Clinton's staff discussed the death of her father and how to use it politically. I am troubled by the revelation that you and this campaign actually discussed using Eric Garner, using, in quotation marks, by the way, why would you want to use my dad? Garner tweeted out, along with a link to emails released by WikiLeaks, these people will co-opt anything to push their agenda. Police violence is not the same as gun violence, wrote Erica Garner. I'm very interested to know exactly what Corey meant when he said, I know we have an Erica Garner problem in the Podesta email 19. I wonder what that Erica Garner problem is, she said. Erica Garner spoke out a few times. Now, her father, they call it the chokehold death, but really he died of a heart attack. You might recall he was a big man. And the stress of it all, he died of a heart attack. But that being what it is, it gained national attention and headlines for police brutality because he was jammed up over selling illegal cigarettes. And let's be honest, does anybody need to die over selling illegal cigarettes? And the answer quite simply is no. Did the police intend to kill the man? I don't believe so, obviously. But it got rough and tumbly and things got ugly. And then Eric Garner had a massive coronary event and he died, but he was held in a chokehold for a long time as well. According to the New York Daily News, this is one of the WikiLeaks emails from John Podesta's email file. I know we have Erica Garner issues, but we don't want to mention Eric at all, ? I can see her coming after us for leaving him out of the piece. That was written by Nick Merrill in a March 17th email to Podesta. Maya Harris, another Clinton aide, replied, Eric Garner not included because not killed by gun violence. I'm glad that you had Maya on your team to explain to you why you won't be using my dad in your effing gun violence piece. Black woman saved your blank, Garner added. Eric Garner was, of course, an African-American man. His daughter, Erica, a black woman, very angry with the Clinton campaign. Will they stop at nothing? Do they have no shame? Will they use anything to win? The answer, of course, is yes. Tim Kaine has canceled events today in Florida, and nobody cares. I'm serious about that. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine canceled a campaign rally in Sarasota today and a couple other places. Canceled without explanation. Maybe this is the explanation. The last rally that Tim Kaine held, about 30 people showed up. This big event, there's nobody there. Tim Kaine has, all the appeal of wet paint. I'm serious. And, you know, he was widely panned as a selection. And the reason he was picked by Hillary Clinton is he would not distract from her, clearly. Let's find the most boring, useless running mate we can find. Hey, I think Tim Kaine's available from Virginia. Yeah, let's pick him. You know, he was selected a year in advance. Why? They couldn't find anybody more boring. Like I was telling a friend of mine when I went to the last football game, he gave me tickets, said they were great seats. Well, I ended up in row 32 in the upper deck. So I sent him a note. I said, you know why I'm not in row, you know why I am in row 32? He says, why? I said, because there's not a row 33. And that's the kind of the same thing with Tim Kaine. They got Tim Kaine because there's nobody less exciting or more boring anyhow. He also got his clock cleaned by Governor Mike Pence. By the way, did you see that Mike Pence's plane slid off the end of a runway in New York yesterday, last evening, when it landed? Apparently, it was a hard landing. Apparently, he's been having trouble with his plane for the last few weeks. Hard landings, really exciting. Well, anyhow, they slid off the runway last night. Nobody hurt. But I bet it was a very exciting few moments there for the folks on that plane. Good Lord. All right. More WikiLeaks coming out. It's 14 after on a free-for-all Friday. I'll be right back.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, it's Free for All Friday. That means Professor Doolin's here. Sometimes he's holding class, sometimes he's taking notes. It depends on the day. Professor, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Do you want to take notes today, or do you want to teach? What do you want?
Either way, did you have any specific subject in mind?
Well, sure. I want to talk about, let me ask you this. Let's talk about WikiLeaks, because the Clinton campaign is being bogged down with WikiLeaks all over the place. So, I mean, we're learning that they want to make George Soros happy. We're learning that, you know, they're trying to set up deals where Bill Clinton makes $50 million. And it just goes on and on and on. And the collusion with news media and the cooperation with everybody, it's stunning to see inside the sausage factory, if you will. But they have been obtained illegally. I don't know if they came from the Russians, where they came from. And there's a lot of pushback saying, well, they were obtained illegally. And for that reason, should we ignore the content of these emails, Professor?
Definitely not. That's a great question, Steve. Where they came from is irrelevant. I think what is relevant is whether they are valid and reliable, whether they are true. And if the information is true, the fact that it was somehow illegally obtained, completely irrelevant at this point.
Well, the Democrats certainly didn't seem to mind that Donald Trump's tax returns were illegally obtained and published on the front page of the New York Times. That didn't seem to bother them much.
Well, absolutely. And the truth is that when you go in there to vote, you have the right to any information that you can get about who you're voting for. This is a sacred trust. This is the basis of our system. This is the worst of all possible systems, except for all the others that have ever been tried.
Well, yeah, exactly. Except for everything else that has always failed. Let me ask you this. Because what we're witnessing here is the degradation of a candidate. Hillary Clinton may still come out on top a week from Tuesday. I don't know for sure. All right? You know, it's hard to say because this Obamacare explosion is happening on the state level and a lot of momentum moving back to Donald Trump as a result of these increased rates of, you know, 30, 40, 50% and more. But as Hillary Clinton may ascend to the White House, she could arrive there with a pile of scandals in tow that make her almost completely ineffective as a leader. It could make her the weakest person taking the office of the presidency since James Buchanan, which was a long time ago. And the question beyond that, Professor, in the world of law, could these scandals that are following her, if they continue to build mass and build weight, could she be impeached for something that occurred prior to her taking the office of the presidency?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer regarding something that happened prior in impeachment. I imagine it's possible because ultimately it's up to the Senate and the House of Representatives how far it goes. High crimes and misdemeanors is the standard, and that's generally construed to mean while in office. But if nothing else, you know, you and I know, and anybody who can think and read knows, that she'll continue to commit the crime of concealment and cover-up after she's in office.
Oh, certainly. And she'll have more levers of power to do that. She'll have more, you know, more ability to conceal and cover up. But see, the problem is the totality of the scandals continues to build. I mean, at some point, I mean, just the sheer mass of it all might crush her. And I'm looking at State Point. I mean, there was a week or two ago, the Democrats were going, oh, we're going to win the U.S. Senate. There's no chance in hell they're going to win the U.S. Senate. And they'll be lucky if they pick up any seats at this point. They're certainly not going to win the House, which means she's going to come in with almost no political clout. She's going to come in, you know, with a Congress that is standing against her and disgusted by her in large measure because the Republicans don't like her. Heck, half the Democrats don't like her. So it could make her literally the weakest leader to take the office in my lifetime for sure. I mean, when Barack Obama came in, even those that opposed him didn't, you know, have the disdain for him that they have for her, and he had a mandate. I mean, he was swept into office. He was able to do things. I don't see that with her.
No, I agree with you. And so you've just provided, in addition to the moral and ethical reasons to not vote Hillary, and in addition to the practical reasons in terms of what she might be able to do, you just came up with another reason to not vote Hillary that I hadn't considered before this morning. So this morning, I'm taking notes, Steve.
So, okay, and so there it is. Have you voted yet?
No, I haven't.
No, neither have I. You know, I was going to try to vote early because I wasn't sure. Then I decided, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I'm in town because I want to go. I want to see it. I want to see how many people are in line. I want to see what the energy level is. I just want to see it because I think doing my job, it's important for me to go see it in person and not mail in the ballot.
So take the pulse.
Absolutely, you know, and see what happens because I mean, travel the country. I think what it sets up as, Professor, and you can appreciate this, what I see out in the country, a lot of Trump signs. What I see in town are a lot of Clinton signs. I think we're seeing this ongoing evolution that's occurred my entire life, which is, you know, the urban people against the rural people, the city against the country, because there are different values of people that live out in the country for those that live in high density areas. Am I right or wrong?
I agree completely. I think the further you are from the source of your food, the less clearly you think.
Now, that's clearly it. And I thought it was the farther you are from the source of your food, because out in the country, oh, I get what you're saying. I was thinking about it backwards. I thought the farther I was out in the country, the more self-reliant I was. And I'm thinking you're sticking it to me, but I had it upside down there for a moment. I got it all sorted out now.
Glad I could help.
Good Lord. Now I got to take notes. All right. Last most important question of the day, Michigan or Michigan State?
I'm calling you from East Lansing, so you know I got to say MSU.
All right. There you go. Steve Doolin, Michigan State guy. Professor here. He's the board of directors of the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. All right, put your list together. Greatly appreciated, Professor, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Yes. Always happy to be here.
Steve Doolin, great guy, everybody, here on the Steve Gruber Show, Free for All Friday. You know, just always sorting out. Now, when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Kathy Brennan. Kathy Brennan is a proud lesbian, women's rights activist, and a person who is totally opposed to the gender wars, as she called it, and transgenderism, and the destruction of the female identity in politics. We'll talk about it on The Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right, welcome back to it on this Free for All Friday. You know, you talk about, you know, I've talked about in this program the threats to freedom of speech in this country. And I believe those threats come primarily from the left when it comes to political activism and so forth, because you see it happen on a pretty regular basis where if the left doesn't agree with what you have to say, you're shouted down. You know, the WikiLeaks provide an ample information that the Hillary Clinton campaign sent people to disrupt Donald Trump campaign events and so forth. You don't have to like Donald Trump. That's all fine and well. But to send people specifically there to create chaos and violence, to me, that's over the line. And it's a threat to free speech in this country. And I bring this to your attention because my next guest, Kathy Brennan, is an outspoken women's rights activist. She's gay. But she says that the whole transgender movement is a threat to women's rights because it's erasing women and, you know, erasing women, frankly. As a result of that, if you go to the internet, you'll find that Kathy has become the focus of all sorts of hateful comments from people like the Southern Poverty Law Center and her group, Identity Watch. Gender Identity Watch has been targeted as a hate group. Kathy Brennan is about the last person I would put on that list. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
I mean, I guess I was kind of shocked when I was doing some. You've been here before. I reached out to you here a couple of years ago about one of these stories, mm-hmm. and you were a little bit hesitant to come on the program, but you did. We've had some great conversations since about these things that affect people. But I was doing some research here, you know, on the last day, and I'm like, I can't believe the amount of just hateful things that are said about you because you dare to say, listen, transgenderism is not good for women, and you've been labeled a hate group, which I think is just shocking.
Yeah, I've been labeled a hate group by, you know, people with internet connections. I haven't been labeled a hate group by any organization, and I don't anticipate that happening because it's actually not hateful to say that, you know, male and female are biological categories that exist. I mean, we teach that in school to children. So unless we're willing to, you know, decide that teaching that to children in elementary and middle school is hateful, then I think I'm okay.
Well, you wonder, though. I mean, honestly, Kathy, you wonder how far this agenda is willing to go as far as pushing this narrative that if you believe you're trapped in, you know, the wrong body or so forth, and therefore you're a transgendered woman, which means man, if you're a transgendered woman, then... That it's very confusing to a guy like me, all right? It is confusing to a lot of folks, right? But I don't want a guy playing on my daughter's volleyball team and calling it equal. I don't want a guy, you know, on the track team, you know, running against girls. I don't think this is a Title IX issue. I think it's nonsense, and I think that you've identified something here that's clearly important, and that is the erasure of women in general. And the same thing is going on. young men are under attack for certain things in this world. You know, the rape culture, these things that are set out there. The men are under attack. Women are being attacked, as you said, because of these things. Where the hell are we going, Kathy?
So it's interesting. I've been watching this transgender agenda since the early 90s, and it originated in the gay and lesbian community, which, of course, is like my home base. And, you know, it used to be, you know, one or two trans women would show up at, like, the Lesbian Avenger meeting and be like, oh, so-and-so is not bothering anyone, just leave them alone. And it just, you know, increased over time. The internet helped spread the ideology. If you look at, like, the most prominent transgender women loudmouths online, like, they've been on the internet for years and years and years. So they've been able very successfully to mainstream this ideology and it simultaneously to make it hateful to question it. And on the left, people are very afraid of being called hateful or bigot. Like, that is like kryptonite to a leftist ideology.
So they're afraid to hear the labels used against them that they use against others, frankly.
Yes, that's actually true. Like, they don't want to be called a bigot, so therefore they're willing to swallow any manner of stupid idea. And the stupidest idea that the left has swallowed is that males can be female if they simply say, I identify as female, which is idiotic to most average people. But on the left, if you don't buy this, you know, whole cloth, you're a bigot and a hater.
Well, let me jump in there, Kathy, because this is an important place for me to step in. And one of the things that's gotten a tremendous amount of coverage in the last year is the bathroom law in North Carolina that says, listen, men use your bathroom, women use your bathroom.
Which, by the way, I do not support that law.
Right, right, so. Which is fine. But the point that I'm making is beyond that. I have an equal opportunity bathroom at my house. Doesn't matter, right? You know, men, women, you know, who cares, right? And as long as people, you know, walk in, close the door. But here's my real question. When you put men, if you will, into locker rooms and so forth, that's where it gets really dicey for me, because I don't want men in the locker room with my 11-year-old daughter. I don't. I think it's a dangerous situation. I think it sets up a situation that's dangerous for young women, not for the men, but for young women are threatened. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think that is wrong. And the problem with this whole conversation is that we're not permitted to publicly have reasonable discussions about compromises. So, for example, in Maryland in 2011, Advocateer put forth a bill to prohibit discrimination against transgender people in employment and housing, but they specifically left public accommodations off of the bill because they didn't want to have that conversation, and that's a compromise. And they were targeted as pushing a hateful bill because they left off this piece that is controversial. And that conversation has been repeated in other states, and it continues to be repeated to this day. There is nothing wrong with having a nuanced conversation in public, except that the people pushing this agenda don't want you to have that. They instead want to bum rush the show and shove everything through before you have a chance to say anything about it.
Now, why is
it? So, what? I'm sorry.
I mean, seriously, why? I mean, and obviously, for you, hold on. Because the hard-fought victories for your side of the aisle, being it gay marriage, for example, the Supreme Court, hard-fought victory over many, many years. And then we get to this part of the conversation. People are going, wait a second, this is just a step too far.
Yep.
And then you get then you get labeled as a hater, like you are on the internet. And me, for God's sake, as a straight white guy, dude, I wander into this field. I'm in big trouble just by stepping out to have the conversation at all. I'm labeled, I guarantee it.
Right. So there's this sense of entitlement, like who's entitled to have an opinion on an issue, and you as a straight white quote cisgender man are not allowed to have an opinion.
Right.
This is again like a pure fabrication of left culture, where you know you're only supposed to have an opinion on things that you see around you unless you somehow identify with the issue. And again, that's silly. It's a logical fallacy. Everyone in this country is entitled to have an opinion about anything they want.
Like, that's the beauty of it, right? That's the founding tenet. Kathy Brennan, hold that thought right there. I'm going to take a quick break. Kathy Brennan here from Gender Identity Watch, talking about people trying to erase women in general by all this transgender stuff that's going on. Straightforward, free-for-all Friday conversation on The Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
For all Friday, my friends, and wandering into places that other shows just shy away from. And today we're talking about the politics of transgenderism in 2016 with Kathy Brennan. And Kathy is a lesbian herself, a member of the LGBTQ, whatever it is, community. I get lost with all the extra letters. LGBT, I can live with. Kathy, I get lost after that, all right? I'll be honest with you. It's funny. I mean, how many letters do we need?
I just say WTF.
Exactly. Part of the WTF community. Kathy Brennan, here she is now. But you're a lesbian. You've been an outspoken gay rights activist for your adult life. But at some point you said, listen, this transgender thing is erasing women. It's erasing the gains we made in Title IX and other places. And it's putting men on the volleyball team and so forth. And that's not right. And yet now you go and you've been labeled a hater. I mean, where do you think we should go with this? What is your take on where this conversation should lead?
So I think that in a country that values freedom and liberty, that we should all acknowledge that people have a right to live and to work and to move in the world with, you know, freedom and ease. So I support legislative efforts to ban discrimination on most bases, including gender identity or gender expression. And the same goes with housing. And indeed, as I said before, I don't support the North Carolina law because I don't think it should be a criminal offense for someone to use the bathroom that doesn't correspond with their biological anatomy. I think that's bad public policy. Now, that being said, I also think that erasing female reality is wrong and problematic because it destroys the ability of women to meet with each other as women and organize around issues that are, you know, special matter to us, such as abortion, which I'm assuming most of your listeners probably don't support, but I think everyone would agree that's an issue that impacts women uniquely because of our biology. Ironically, the transgender movement is probably one of the best friends that many in the conservative movement will have on abortion, because it is premised on the fact that women don't have a right to privacy, and women don't have a right, you know, in a locker room or in a homeless shelter to have, like, you know, physical integrity and space away from males.
And clearly, they do.
They should.
Of course they should.
Of course they should. So
no, I'm not going to get into the whole abortion conversation. That would take an hour, but, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But the I would like to see, you know, a recognition that, you know, women and girls in this culture, you know, we have female anatomy. And as a result of that, there have been things that have come out of that. Like, we're socialized in a specific way. And we also, you know, we have specific biological needs. And we don't necessarily want to, you know, share these things with males. It's not comfortable. And so far, I haven't seen a single transgender or gay organization or, you know, the ACLU stand up and say, yes, women and girls have a right to privacy.
Women, if you will. Cis, for those of you listening, I just learned this. Cis meaning those that identify with their actual God-given sex at birth, if you will. So a cis woman being a woman, or a cis man being me, you know, that we respect it. It seems to me there's this effort of, with this ideology, this agenda, if you will, Kathy, to erase and try to live under this illusion that men and women are exactly the same. That's what it is. There's no difference. They're all the same. And boys should be, if boys are aggressive when they're little boys, and they should be medicated and you know, if a little boy kissed a girl in elementary school, he should be charged with assault, and women should allow this, and, you know, it's gone to the point of complete neurosis to me. I mean, it's absurd how far we've gone.
There is a lot of absurdity, and I think over the next decade, we're going to see, you know, a lot more playing up of the absurdity, because people are becoming more hip to what this agenda is doing. I wanted to mention that there was a recent district court case, I believe it was out of Illinois, where the magistrate in that case specifically said that girls do not have a right to privacy and should be expected to use a locker room with a boy.
And see, that's absurd. I mean, think about girls in junior high school. Listen, puberty's hard enough already for guys and girls, all right? It's hard enough. You're awkward. You feel funny. You don't know how and some person's wandering into the room who's a guy, I don't care what you call it. And that's just awkward. That's hard for kids.
It's awkward. And also, as I was saying, like, the left is incoherent with their agenda. So they want girls to, like, believe other girls and, like, trust their instincts. But the minute one of these girls says, hey, that's a boy, they point at that girl and say, you're a hater and a bigot. So the left has absolutely no credibility on this issue. They operate with no integrity on this issue. The only weapon they have is a giant club, which they like to bring out and wave around and smash people who disagree with them, which is why, you know, I'm such a target of, you know, their attention, you know, because I also, you know, don't shut up. I don't care what they say. You can call me whatever you want. I mean, I'm a lesbian. I've been called worse, you know?
Yeah, it's fine, Kathy. I'm going to keep calling and keep putting you on the program, because I think you are a voice of reason. You know, I may not agree with all the things you say, but listen to the conversations that we have. You put out your points of view. I talk about it. We have a reasonable conversation. Right. And we try to persuade each other, not with a club, like you said, or with threats of labeling you as this or me as that, because if you can't beat somebody in an argument in America in 2016, just label them something and discredit them and try to shame them. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
Right. So we've been working over the last couple of years to change this conversation. And a group of us headed by Ruth Barrett, who is a lesbian activist out of California, have put together a book that talks about this issue from various perspectives, including, you know, a legal analysis I've provided, and other women have talked about, for example, how their husbands decided they were women and how it devastated their marriages. So that might be something your readers might be interested in checking out.
And what's the book? Real quickly, what's the book?
It's called Female Erasure, and you can get it on Amazon. It's edited by Ruth Barrett.
Ruth Barrett, Female Erasure. And for anybody who has a daughter, granddaughter, wife, or sister, you know, go find out the facts. Kathy Brennan, terrific conversation as always.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.